I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. I want you to open your Bible. There are Bibles in front of you in the pew. At the book of Job. The book of Job. And I want to refer you to the 36th chapter and the verse 7. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. Job was the most troubled man in all the world. And Job, in the book that bears his name, tells us of his troubles and his deliverances. And I want to put my sermon into the first person. So I tonight am going to be Job, and I am going to tell you what has happened to me. Impersonation was greatly used by the preachers of the past, but it's very seldom you hear a preacher using this to present the gospel. But I want to do that tonight. So my name is Job, and I'm sure when I tell you my story tonight, you will agree with me that I was the most troubled man on earth. You'll want to know my lineage and my background. Many Christians foolishly say that there's just the book of Job, and there's no more material in the scripture but his book. Who he was, where he came from, who he was related to, they do not know. But I want to tell you tonight, you need to read the Bible. And you will find some things about me you never knew before. I am the son of Issachar. Read the Bible and find out where you read that. My three friends, who you remember came to see me in my terrible trouble, were all descendants of Esau, Jacob's eldest brothers. One was Eliphaz of Teman. He was a son of Esau, and he also had a son called Teman. It was noticed, this place, Teman, was noted for its wise men, and is mentioned with Edom in Amos chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Compare that with Jeremiah 25, 23. Where both are connected with Buzz, the brother of Uz, and that you'll find in Genesis 22:21. Bildad the Shuhite, Shuah, was the sixth son of Abraham by his second wife Keturah, Genesis 25:2. And is mentioned with Esau, Edom, and Teman, Jeremiah 49:8. Zophar, the Namathite, Namah now called Nahak, is 6 miles south of Lod in the lowlands of Judah. In the list of Jacob's son, you will read of me and my brothers. Genesis 46:13. And the sons of Issachar were Tola and Furva and Job. That's me. And Ashriron. I am the third son of Judah's son Issachar. Jacob's son Issachar. You will read that I lived 140 years before my time of double blessing ran out. Job 42:16-17. That means that my life on earth altogether had three seasons of 70 years each. The first 70 years ended in my trouble. The second section of 70 years, I had my trouble and affliction. And the last 70 years were days of blessing and days of renewal and days of spiritual power. I would remind you that Joseph, who was sold into Egypt as a slave, that he was my uncle. And he died 119 years after Joseph's death. I died 119 years. At my uncle Joseph's death, I was 91 years old. When I died, before I died, I knew Moses, for he lived for 55 years in Midian, which was beside where I was living. 25 years before the Exodus from Egypt. This accounts for my relationship to those who worshipped the true and only God, Jehovah. It also points that Moses could have been the human author of the book that bears my name. For he was an ear and eyewitness of what appears in all its pages. Now let me, now having told you my background, let me introduce you to the story of my prosperity. Then my terrible adversity, and then my marvelous ecstasy. I became a very prosperous man when I left Egypt and settled in the land of Uz. I walked with God, and God walked with me and gave me great grace. I had a good and lovely wife. I had 7 fine sons, and I had 3 charming daughters. I had ever increasing substance. 70,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. My sons had continuous feasts for themselves and their 3 sisters. After their feasting, I always had a time of divine sacrifices, lest peradventure they had committed crime and sin in their times of feasting. Then a very terrible day came, when the greatest of all troubles was poured out upon me unrelenting. A day with a night as dark as hell's midnight overtook me. Turn to chapter 1 of Job, and you can read about that in verses 14 and 15. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Fast on the heels of that first conveyor of tragedy was another. And in verse 16 of chapter 1, we read, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Fast on the heels of that messenger of evil, there came another. While he was yet speaking, Job 1 and 18, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. When I heard that, I rose from where I was sitting, and I said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Verse 21 of Job 1. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, God testified to the fact that I didn't charge him foolishly. Little did I know at that time that there had been a matter of dispute between the Trinity of God in heaven and the great adversary, Satan himself. I only learned that later on, but that is far from the end, the dark end of my story. But now, by God's grace, I can call it the blessed beginning of an unending ending. Behind the scenes, where the mortal eye of man cannot penetrate it, the great adversary Satan was again at his dark work. Chapter 2 of Job, verses 3 to 13. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered, my servant Job, that it is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou move me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent their every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. If you read the 5th chapter of this great book of Job, you will find that in this 5th chapter, 20 acts of the Most High God are recorded, how God alleviates the troubles of his people. 20 acts of God are lined up in chapter 5 of this book to show how God helps his people in the time of their greatest troubles. And God helped me in the time of my greatest trouble. The things which caused me to tremble and fear and immersed me in the darkness of tribulation, temptation, and terror, these were all dispelled by these 20 acts of God, which are a complete remedy for all troubles we have had, for all troubles we might be having, and for all troubles that we ever will have on this earth. Turn with me to the 5th chapter of Job, and let us note these. 1, in verse 18, God maketh sore and bindeth up. Happy is the one whom the Lord so correcteth. The binding up of the sore by the hand of God is comfort and healing indeed. No one can hurt when the greatest physician has done the work of putting on the bandage. Turn to the same verse, Job 5 and 18. God woundeth and his hands make whole. The wounding and smiting of God are just in preparation for his making us completely whole. We are healed by the stripes of our Lord Jesus. Number 3. Job 5 and 18. God bindeth up. The binding up of our wounds is the first installment of perfect healing. Sometimes a great physician must make the wound deeper so that it can make the healing perfect and entire. All the sinful infection must be released so that the healing is perfect in itself. 4, Job 5 and 18, God maketh whole. No wound can baffle the greatest of all physicians. His success is unbaffled. His touch leaves healing behind it. His touch dismisses all pain and all aches. Christ has the eagle's eyes. He beholds all that he sees, and he orders them to be healed. He has a woman's hand, soft and tender, to chase the pain away. He has the lion's heart, strong and stout, to encourage the patient to keep up courage and eventually triumph. 5, Job 5 and 19. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. Deliverance from all our troubles is the Savior's work. There is not 1 trouble but 6. It matters not. The Savior's touch is mighty to heal. And even when the 6 have swelled to 7, it matters not, for our God is able to deliver. 6, Job 5 and 20. In famine he shall deliver thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Deliverance from all troubles, even the troubles like mine, when I had lost everything, even the faith of my wife. But God delivers from them all. From death itself, I shall be saved by God's hand. From the toughest and cruelest of enemies of the Lord, he will gloriously save me, and we shall praise his thrice holy name. 7, Job 5 and 20, saved from death. Oh, how powerful is the strength of Almighty God. The last great enemy is a cockle shell as far as Christ's power is concerned. Christ is the victor of all victors. He shall smash death and lay it in the grave without resurrection. He saves and heals to the uttermost. 8, Job 5 and 20. He saves from the power of the sword. The sword is the representative in the scripture of death itself. But no sword can cut through a thing when it comes against the word of the living God from the lips of Jesus. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Nothing but death can be the lot of those who fight against the word of Christ. 9, Job 5:21, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. The ungodly tongue is a bitter sword which Satan and hell uses against the people of God. How I suffered with its scourge as I sat in isolation and ashes, and the boils tore at every nerve of my body. But glory to God, he hid me from that hellish scourge. 10, Job 5 and 21. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. We will hear the trampling of our enemies, but they will never trample us down. They cannot destroy us, for Christ has already destroyed them. Have no fear of destruction, for it is your enemies that will be punished, not you. They are preserved unto perdition. You are preserved unto paradise. Rejoice and be glad, you shall never perish. 11, Job 5 and 22, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. The armies of destruction will never fight with you. The famine of their strategies will not connive thee. Thou wilt laugh as you see their armies and their threats. God will hang them all out to dry, and you will rejoice with him forevermore. 12, Job 5 and 23 removes all fear from the beasts of the field. The ravenous beasts will have their mouths closed, as the lions of Babylon did, and were shut up, and Daniel was victorious. God shut the lions' mouths. So long as we are at peace with God, all our enemies will in the end be silenced and will be slaughtered. Jesus is triumphant over all the kings of terror. He shall reign until all his enemies lick the dust at his feet. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. 13, Job 5 and 23. The beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. What a peace conference. No angry beasts. Peace, perfect peace. Isaiah 11 and 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. 14, Job's knowledge of peace, Job 5 and 24. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. What a promise. War ended forever. Peace that will last forever. They study war no more. Death is swallowed up in victory. 15. Thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Sinless perfection at long last. Home without enmity or sin. The tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell with them. Purity and peace at the end. 16, Job 5 and 25. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. As Christ shall see his seed, so we will see ours. And as he prolongs his days, so will ours be prolonged. Then shall we be what we should be. Then shall we be what we would be. Things which are not now, nor could not, then will be our very own. 17, Job 5 and 25. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. The much fruit reaping time will be a bumper harvest time. Like the grass of this world, so shall its numbers be. How glorious for our loving Lord to see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. 18, Job 26, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. A happy death stands between me and grace and glory. The troubles of the grave conquered by the triumphs of grace. There is nothing better than a peaceful death, and an everlasting welcome to to the eternal habitations in the world above. A long life preceding a long eternity. What a privilege is that. 19. Oh, this we have searched it, so it is. What a search. What a success. A search for peace, and peace found at last amidst the darkness. And the darkness is all dispelled, and eternal light bursts in upon the soul. When the troubles will be no more, and perfect, unending joy will prevail forever. Then shall the glorified cry with me, so it is, so it is, the unchanging glory of the heaven of heavens. And lastly, 20, hear it and know thou it for thy good. The ultimate purpose of God in all creation is to redeem creation from all iniquity and sin and restore it to its original sinlessness and perfection. Job 5 and 24, Revelation 21, 3 to 7. This is the purpose of the redemption and reign of Christ. I, Job, uttered my last words to you all, and I wrote them in my book, and when I made them, I said this, Job 19, 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon this earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. When I shall see him for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I lived 70 years in peace. I had my hardship in the next and second 70 years. But the last 70 years was heaven on earth. So endeth the testimony of Job, the servant of God. One question I must ask you. Have you this peace? Have you this pardon? Have you this joy? Have you this hope? Have you this everlasting life? Happy is the soul who can say from the depths of their heart, with Job, mine eye shall see him and not another. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the testimony of thy servant Job. What a man he was. What trouble he had. But his troubles were all healed by the power of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace I often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain I bear. All because I do not carry everything to God in prayer. Help us to carry everything to God in prayer. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Rest, remain, and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.